Well, over the last few weeks, brethren, we've been going over some serious thought, haven't we?
Yeah.
About the upcoming Passover season and where we're all working at purging, aren't we? Getting rid of things. And as we do that, it reminds us of getting rid of, what would you call it? Starts with an S.
Sin.
Getting rid of that. It's kind of was taken on at the Garden of Eden, wasn't it? We'll way back to that. Let's begin in the first chapter of Romans this time. Not the first chapter, the sixth chapter. Sixth chapter of Romans. Let's turn there. The plan of God is, as we know, revealed through the keeping and the understanding of the weekly Sabbath and the annual holy days. Romans 6, we're going to. The annual holy day cycle is starting to begin anew once again, as we're all quite aware of. So in this short message, I've entitled it, Be a New Lump. And I want to hopefully get us thinking about this covenant renewal that's going to take place on Thursday evening. We're going to be doing that in roughly 3 days from now, right here in this very room. Okay. Now, a couple of Sabbaths ago, we were all reminded that a spiritual journey, this spiritual journey that we're on, begins to take a much more serious role. Welcome, Opal. Much more serious role. When? At our baptism. We all witnessed that, didn't we? When our two ladies, Marie Celeste and Patsy Marie, I'm using double names today, they went into the waters of baptism. We all witnessed it. After Sabbath service on February the 28th, right here in the pool at the hotel. Yeah. So here in Romans 6, in verse 4, it's talking about baptism. Let's read that this afternoon. Romans 6 and verse 4, and I quote, Therefore, we were buried with him through the baptism into the death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, in the same way, we also should walk in this same newness of life. End of quote. Now, when we were raised up out of the watery grave, we came up, what I referred to in my title, a new lump was created in Christ. Nobody else, in Christ. Never forget that. It's something we have to remind ourselves of. So it was in the beginning that this transformation process took on a whole different scale, didn't it? And we experienced that as well in our own personal lives when we came into covenant with God the Father and Jesus Christ. I'm going to quote Galatians 2 and verse 20 for you. I don't want you to turn there. Just listen carefully to this. It tells us that, starts off with the word I, but you say we because there's 13 of us here today. We have been crucified with Christ. Do we remember that? We have been crucified in Christ, yet I still live. But it's no longer I, but Christ lives in me. For the life that I am now living in the flesh, how do you live that? It says here, I live by faith. And that very faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. End of quote. Well, this is the reason when we carefully ready ourselves for taking the Passover and seriously work through what's just to come here in a couple days. The Passover and the days of unleavened bread. They walk hand in hand. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. We've been there a few times already this year through the preparation of this particular holy day season. 1 Corinthians 11, we're going to read from 27 to 32. Now, God tells us prior to Passover to put out the sin, to put out the leaven in our lives, but to put it out from our living quarters, right? We've all been doing that. Actually, we have that done in our house right now. We're really wanting to get this thing out of the way so we can go forward and concentrate on things. Probably most of you have too. I see another head shaking up here on my left that they've done that as well. And this leaven that we put out, it's really a spiritual thing we're doing. Because it represents, as I already said, sin that hides in our life. Now, it's a physical exercise pointing toward a very important spiritual position in our lives. And I quote now 1 Corinthians 11, verses 27, I'll read down to 32. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks and in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. We've heard that talking about death, an early death. 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. That's pretty serious. That is pretty serious. I hope we all take that seriously. Self-examination, a very important step before taking this covenant renewal of Passover. Let a man and a woman examine himself, Paul writes. But seeing a problem is not the same, brethren, as fixing it. If we recognize what is wrong and do nothing, we have not truly judged the self. Paul explains if we judge ourselves, God is not going to have to do that. That's the whole idea of it. But if we refuse to deal with our sins, refuse to deal with ourselves and judge ourselves, he will correct us. So why? I just read it. So we won't be condemned with the world. He has to correct us. He will correct us. That's something we don't want. Okay? Seeing sin is not the same as overcoming it. I can look at myself in the mirror and see the sin, but now what am I going to do about it? The challenge before us, brothers and sisters, is this. Will we act upon what we see? The big question is, after we've examined our hearts to see the things that we need to change, what should come next? It's a question. How do we move from knowing what is wrong to a change that is real, called repentance, that will actually last? We get rid of the sin, we get rid of the leaven, we don't want it back. Right? Let's see something. Really important. Psalm 119. Oh, Psalm 119. Where do you find that? Right almost in the center of your Bible. Let's go there. I only want one verse here. Psalm 119, verse 11. How do we prevent the sins we struggle with and resist or even avoid the temptations that lead to these sins? We find the answer right in the middle of our Bible here. Psalm 119, verse 11 says there, your word I have hidden, or in other words, laid up in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Notice the U is capitalized. Okay? The psalmist protected himself from sinning by storing God's word where? In his heart. This teaches a very clear principle. When God's truth guides the heart, guides the mind, it shapes our choices. No question about it. We can prevent sin by depositing God's word in our minds so that our hearts and minds can be prepared to avoid even the temptation of sin. We don't want to even be tempted. If we want to grow in our ability to prevent sin, we need to follow this very same path. This was Jesus' way when he was facing the wilderness experience and those temptations that were coming from the devil. And we find that in Matthew, the 4th chapter. You don't need to turn there. You know this very clearly. Okay? He used this exact same principle that I'm talking about here. Let's give this some serious thought. Because we have things, think about this for a minute now. We have things in our possession, we have articles in our possession that we feel are really, really super valuable to us, don't we? We have those things, we know where they are. What do we do naturally with these possessions? I'll tell you what we do with them. We keep them in a safe place. Why? So we can use them later, easily. We know where they are. Not only just that, we want to get at these things quickly. You see where I'm going to this with this now? Now think about this on an all-important spiritual level. How important was it when we came up from those waters of baptism? This new person came up. This new lump, as we're talking about here this afternoon. Did we ho-hum that experience? I don't think we did. As a matter of fact, I know we did not ho-hum that. Now, how do we store God's word in our hearts and in our minds? How do we do that? By memorizing it. I remember a couple years ago, we were doing that in this congregation. We were memorizing scriptures. I think it was one a week. We brought them out. And it wasn't an easy thing to do. We had to really work at it. James 1. Let's go there. You store this up, this word that you've got in front of you there, by memorizing it. And God's word, James 1 we're going to, God's word needs to be implanted, stored in our minds. When? The best time is before we face the temptations. Before we face the problems. So we can ward off the sin. Right? That's why we're storing this important, valuable treasure in a safe place. So we can quickly retrieve it. For the purpose of what? Use. We want to use it. To be used as one of the tools in our spiritual toolbox. Let me quote from this epistle in James, the 1st chapter, in verse 21. And I quote, "Therefore, having rid ourselves of all filthiness and all the abounding of wickedness around you, then in meekness," or in other words, in humility, "accept for yourselves," what? "The implanted word, which is able to save your and my life." Wow. That's amazing. Verse 22. "Then, be doers of the word, and not only hearers, deceiving your own selves." Pretty pointed. A little further on in James 5, in verse 8, it says, "Be self-controlled, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's out there all the time. I heard in a message a while ago, he does not take a holiday. God's word, carefully stored, implanted within us, is not to remain idle. You got to shift through the gears with that. And use it. Use that horsepower. Use that power. And guards us from what? From sin. Changes us. Leads us to what we're going after. That is salvation. Leads us to that. That's how God speaks to us. That's how God protects us. He brings us along. We always need to be using the word in season as well as out of season. We have been called to be like who? To be like Christ himself. We're called to that. To mimic him. And guess what he does? He raises the bar. Remember? He says, to be like my Father in heaven. I quote that all the time. Matthew 5:48. Therefore, he says, you shall be perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, to end this for today, as a new lump, every one of us need to be storing up the word for use when the time comes along when we need to seriously use it. It's very important, in season and out of season.